The good news of God's love according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. It seems a strange choice. In a season that celebrates not only resurrection, but God's gift of abundant life, to have a gospel reading that we usually read at funerals. "In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places," or as we used to hear, "many mansions. I am going to prepare a place for you. I will come and take you to myself." We tend to assume that this is about Jesus preparing a home for us in heaven, a home that we will enjoy after we die. But maybe we should look a little deeper. Maybe it's promising us more than just that. Jesus says these words to his disciples during his Last Supper with them. These are the opening words of what is referred to as his farewell discourse, an extremely long speech that fills three chapters in the Gospel of John. Jesus talks about his impending death, resurrection, and ascension. His message is that he will soon leave his followers, but he will not abandon them. At one point in the speech, Jesus says to the disciples, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our dwelling place with them." Is our dwelling place with God in heaven or here on earth? I am becoming convinced that the answer is both. The death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus make it possible for us to rest secure in the passionate and powerful love of God right now. We can remain in that dwelling place until the day that we die, and then into all of eternity. Just last Sunday, we heard Jesus say, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Not after we die, but abundant life amid all of the trials and hardships of the here and now. Today he says, "I am going away to prepare a dwelling place for you." It's a place in the very heart of my Father's love, a place that will offer security and safety to you even when I cannot spare you from heartbreak or hardship. Jesus cannot completely shield us from the evil of the world, but he can keep our hearts and our minds secure. He can help us to hold on to our trust in God's unconditional love, even when we are surrounded by hatred. In the earliest days of the Christian community in Jerusalem, the apostles appointed 7 men to be servants of the community. The name of their job, deacon, comes from the Greek word for servant. The book of Acts tells us how one of those deacons, Stephen, came to offend some powerful people. They then had him arrested on false charges and brought before the same religious authorities who had orchestrated the death of Jesus. No one asked Stephen to deny his faith. They asked him to explain it, and he did so. They asked if he rejected the ancient faith of the Israelites. He replied that while there have always been people who opposed God, he is not one of them. In his defense, Stephen recounts the whole history of the people of Israel, going all the way back to Abraham, but his testimony highlights how, throughout history, there have always been people who reject God's ways. He then says that the men judging his case are no better than their rebellious ancestors because they arranged to have God's appointed Savior put to death, which is why they are ready to kill Stephen even before he shares his vision of heaven. It's not that he's looking up into the clouds. His focus is so fixed on the things of heaven, on the things of God, that he is given a vision of their reality. In all of the misfortune of life, God remains on a throne, ruling over all things in love. Jesus stands, always ready for action. His action may not happen in the way we expect or how we would like, but it comes directly from the throne of God. Stephen's arrest and trial are almost a carbon copy of what was done to Jesus. And in his death, Stephen follows the example of Jesus in forgiving his executioners and in calmly surrendering his spirit to God. He had completely entrusted his life to Jesus, and now he entrusts his death to Jesus as well. Psalm 31 is a prayer of the powerless, a prayer that could have been offered by Jesus or Stephen at the moment of their death. "In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit." To take refuge in God means to entrust our eternal well-being to God. God cannot always save us from pain or loss, but God will always save us from the corruption of our ideals and our values. in a world that has dedicated itself to hatred and violence, God is our only help and our only hope. Our resistance to the world's evil has to be done with love and forgiveness. We have to have the courage to choose some suffering for ourselves rather than inflict it on anyone else. The first letter of Peter reiterates again and again to a community that is suffering that even though they are scorned by their neighbors, they are precious to God. The recipients of the letter are encouraged to copy the commitment of Jesus and even of Stephen, a commitment to humble service, a commitment to speaking the truth, even when it makes people uncomfortable, a commitment to love and forgiveness and to the rejection of hatred and violence. People who don't have the courage to make these commitments will stumble over the rock that has been chosen as the cornerstone of the Christian faith, the suffering and death of Jesus. On that cornerstone and in alignment with that cornerstone, God then uses us as living stones to build a spiritual house, a new kind of temple in which we are priests who willingly offer the sacrifice of our lives to the service of God. In the Gospel of John, Jesus promises us a dwelling place with God. This letter says that we are being formed into that dwelling place, a spiritual house that will offer us refuge from the violence and hatred around us, a home that will create a safe space where we can grow into our salvation, our health, and wholeness. To quote the next hymn, the home of Shanti Pax Shalom Maslaha. It isn't as important that we bear witness to Jesus even in the face of death as that we bear witness to the non-violent and forgiving ways of Jesus even in the face of violence. The world does not change overnight with the resurrection of Jesus. There continue to be people who choose the paths of fear and hatred and violence to this very day. Often all that the people of God can do is to love unconditionally, speak the truth without fear, and willingly forgive any abuses that are inflicted on us. It can feel a lot like dying, but it is the way to life.